You want to start now?
Yes, I do, Jeff. Thanks. Hi, good morning. So this morning's talk is about bamboo. I was thinking probably a decade ago that I was going to see Roshi early in the morning, 4:30, and I was driving in an extremely heavy rain. I could barely see even with the windshield wipers going as fast as they could. And so I got there and started sitting, and then I saw Roshi. And by the time the third period started, the rain had stopped. Now, in Jersey City, the altar is in front of two windows. And the rain had stopped, but there was still water from the roof dripping down. And it was landing on the sill on the outside of these two windows. And you could hear the dripping of the rain. And as I was sitting there, I don't know, I was just drawn into the sound. And it was as if I disappeared into the raindrop. It was just then raindrop. And I became aware of myself in a physical way. As I was listening to the raindrops drop off the roof, I could feel in my body that there's like a warmth in my chest. And then it sort of felt like, this wasn't thinking at all, it was just feeling and not really even naming what I was feeling. This is sort of retrospectively. So I could feel this warmth in my chest, and then I could feel that my heart was open. And my body began to fill with love, just listening to these drops of rain. And there was something deeply touching about this being at one with these drops falling. So on my way home, I found myself now thinking about the experience, reflecting on it, and thinking about how frequently the senses or the body are really the gateway to insight. And it's just this simple, unnamed, direct sensory experience. So there's a famous koan, which is about bamboo. This koan is not in any of the books that I went through, but it sort of fits here. And so it's a story about a Chinese Zen student whose name is Xian Yan. And he was a student of the famous Chinese Zen master Pai Chang. And Xian Yan was exceptionally brilliant. He was quick-witted, strong in analytical power and logical acumen. He was really special. And he was also steeped in Zen literature and the scriptures. And it was said that he could give 10 answers to a single question. I don't know why you would want to do that, but he could do that. And eventually Pai Chang died. So shortly after his death, Xian Yan met with his successor, I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Ku Shan, and asked him if he could continue his studies under Ku Shan. And Ku Shan said to him, "Xian Yan, you have a remarkable intellect and ingenuity, which enables you to understand ideas, unfold their consequences. But I would like to ask you to tell me something about your state before your parents were born." And as the koan goes, this question plunged Xian Yan into a thick fog. He didn't know what to think. And he returned to his room and feverishly searched all of his books for something appropriate to say in answer to this question. But he couldn't find a single sentence he could use. So he returned to see Ku Shan and pleaded with him to please tell me the secret explicitly, so that I can understand. And Ku Shan said, "If I tell you, then in the future you will reproach me for having done so." And then he said, "Anyway, whatever I speak still belongs to me and has nothing to do with you." Now you could imagine at this point how Xian Yan was tied into knots because he could not play his strong suit in this Daisan. So he left in despair, went and he burned all his books, and he vowed to become a mendicant monk, moving from one place to another. And eventually he came upon the sacred gravesite of the sixth patriarch of Zen, Huineng. And this gravesite had been seriously neglected. So Xian Yan decided to stay there, this gravesite, and maintain it as a shrine. And day after day, he had no worldly thoughts. All his attention was focused on sweeping. And one day, he swept the petal into a bamboo grove at the shrine. The pebble hit a piece of bamboo and went. And at this sound, this one tock, he said, "I have forgotten all I knew." And Xian Yan was enlightened. He could hear that tock clearly because he heard it from a mind that does not know. So there was just that click, that tock on the bamboo. So Dogen once said, "You hear the sound of the Dharma with the body first, and then the mind last." And so what he's saying is that in Zen, there's a shift from our usual way of relating to the world with our intellect to a physical way directly through the body, through the senses. And it is through our body that we experience our true nature. And that's because it's inconceivable. The way cannot be conceived through thinking. Later, we use our intellect, we use our mind to communicate what the experience was. Now, it occurred to me that this is similar to haiku, which I am fond of. Haiku is not something to understand. You don't read a haiku to understand it. You read the haiku to experience it. And it points very simply and directly. And so it's about having the experience of what it points to. And so I'm just going to read a couple just to give you a sense of how haiku speaks to this non-intellectual way of experiencing. These four, are by Basho. "The first snow, enough to bend the leaves of the daffodil. The first snow, enough to bend the leaves of the daffodil. Winter solitude, in a world of one color, the sound of wind. Winter solitude, in a world of one color, the sound of wind. Ancient pond, frog jumps in, splash. Ancient pond, a frog jumps in, splash." And then the last one, "The temple bell stops, but the sound keeps coming out of the flowers. The temple bell stops, but the sound keeps coming out of the flowers." Now, another Zen master who is more famous than Dogen, and most of us in the West are very familiar with this teacher, and his name is Yogi Berra. And Yogi Berra said that you can't think and hit at the same time. So this wisdom applies to practice as well. You can't truly sit and think at the same time. You can't really light the incense and think at the same time. And you can't really think and hear the rain at the same time. Because our practice is a direct experiential practice. So finally, Dogen in the Shobo Genzo asked, "Is the way attained through the mind or the body?" Right? Pick and choose. The mind or the body? Now, if that isn't an invitation to immediately go up to the head and try to figure out what that means, then there is none. So as long as we think about the way, it can never be grasped. And if we allow our thinking mind to be still and casting aside views and understandings, then the way will be realized. Now, to go back to Xian Yan, he realized the way after he let go of his brilliant intellect and allowed his mind to simply be at rest. And then thus directly hearing the sound of the pebble bouncing off the bamboo. and he was therefore enlightened through his body. Thank you.